coming. we've been coming here quite, I don't know, over a period of six, something like that, yeah. So this has always been home, but the time has come, we believe, to not just come and visit and, you know, but to be actually be part of a family that has always been family to us. And so it's very humbling to actually stand here to say that we are part of Haven Church. And we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us, and we know that we will be blessed just being in this place where His presence is. So thank you for having us.
But Mr. Joseph,
where do I start? It's this, our church. Now we're here. we've been on a journey, and this is where we know we belong to this church. And by God's grace, we'll do our best. And we pray that He'll continue to fill us as we worship with You and learn from You as well. That's why we're here. And to promote the kingdom of God in Birmingham, as Laurie said, and Leicester, where we live. But it's great to be here, you know, to see all of you, the old faces and the new faces. And we love you all, and we love the Lord as well. We thank you. Thank you very much, Laurie, for accepting us as part of the team. And Chris, where's Chris? Oh, there she is. And Chris, for accepting us as part of the team. We will worship under you. You are our leaders. And the young ones, we've traveled with you on a couple of occasions. We enjoyed every trip, although some of them it was like, but we did enjoy each one of them. We'll talk about that later. God bless you.
Can we just have some of, however many people want to just gather around them, I think it would just be a great time to let them know they're loved and welcome for who they are and what they bring and carry. Father, thank You for this amazing opportunity to fellowship together. Thank You, Lord, for all the work that's gone in all of our hearts in preparation for such a time as this, because it is such a time as this one. It is such a time. Such a time. So, Father, we just lay hands on them and receive them as part of our family in the most official way, Lord, in a way that says we've always been thrilled to have You as cousins and visitors, but now You are actually part of us, and we are so thrilled. Father, I pray that they would just have confirmation after confirmation that You would make the trip each week quick, that they'd just be teleported each week, just a shorter journey than it used to be, less traffic than it used to be. Just favor upon favor upon favor, Lord. Open door after door. Let relationships blossom and grow here. Let them be like magnets that You've called them to be, to just attract the lost and the hurting and the excited and the overflowed as they come together with us, Lord.
Just as one of the young adults of Haven, I just want to welcome you as spiritual parents to be mentors to us, to be fathers and mothers to us, and to lead us in what You know and what wisdom the Lord has given and will give you. And we bless you to receive from us everything that you can, everything that the Lord has given you for this time in your life, for this part of the journey. We accept you with grace and with humility to give you whatever we have to give.
F- Father, we rejoice that they are not only part of the body, but they're part of this body. And we do embrace them and welcome them. Father, I thank you for the freedom and the liberty of you, Iris, of when you worship and the way you go for it and the expression of that worship that's inside. And we bless that. We bless that and we say, go for more, go deeper, go wider, go higher, and express that worship that's on the inside of you. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Lord, for Joseph's humor and his love and the way he expresses his love and his concern for the body. So we bless you guys and we say welcome in Jesus' name.
Father, thank you. Let this be a marked day in heaven. Let it be a whole new level of worship and prophecy released in our church as we just absolutely love each other and the lost back to life. So thank you for this precious gift today, Lord. Amen. How awesome. Just to clarify for any of you who are visiting or for those of you who've come for a while and maybe haven't seen that done. We always want to be open to anybody, and that's the truth. That will always be the policy of our church, to have an open door. If there were any problems, we would try to deal with them on the day. We have had one or two of those situations, but it's a church where whosoever is welcome to attend. We also recognize that there's a certain element of just refreshing pool upon our church for people from different churches. Friday night tends to be a little bit more like that, where people from different churches can come. We have Catholics who come every single week, and it's just a delight for my heart, really, for people to be able to come from other streams and other churches and just, you know, get in the river a little bit and enjoy the presence of God. But we do have a slight distinguishing of who is our church family, and would include them in this kind of formal introduction as part of our family. That's the only thing we do in the way of formal membership. It just helps you to distinguish you have a family, and for our church core family to know who their family is, who the cousins are, who the brothers and sisters are. So if that makes it a little clearer, we don't want to in any way push people to make that decision. I almost always say this. I don't know if I said it to you guys because we've known you for too long, but for people who express interest in being part of our church, we always have a disclaimer, and we say we would love to have you. Just fasten your seatbelt, because what will happen after probably around 6 months is God will begin to deal with some heart issues, and all of a sudden you will find yourself in a place of unhappiness at times because God is rearranging some stuff on the inside. And let's face it, if I've got some stuff to deal with and some attitudes or fear on the inside, guess whose fault it's going to be initially? Yours. If you've got fear and insecurity going around on the inside, the first place to look for most of us is somebody else is making me feel like that. How many people have ever said something like that? You are making me feel like that. Yeah, that's how we perceive it. That's how we live that out. When in reality, perfect love casts out fear. So why is there any fear in my own heart? And we want to be a place that pursues revival. I think the two key leaders that I would have a lot of respect for would be, of course, my dad, John Arnott, and also Bill Johnson. Both ministries would declare you cannot have revival without inner healing. You cannot have more of the Holy Spirit without some tools and plans on how to deal with the scum that gets churned up to the top. I've used that example many times. When I was a new mom and my kids were very small, I made jam, and I went and picked the raspberries myself, washed every single berry, made sure there was no dirt on any berries, and yet when I heated them, there was all this dirt and scum that was at the top. And that's the heating process, very similar to what happens when we really allow the Holy Spirit to have place in our hearts and do the stuff that he needs to do. But just maybe ask the person beside you, do you really want to keep the scum? Like, do you really want it? Does it feel nice to feel afraid? Does it feel nice to feel insecure? I don't think it does. I hate feeling insecure. I hate that sense of panic. We had a panic moment, as you know, in the elevator in France when 10 of us squeezed in a lift that accommodated 8. But Arnott's, Lawler's, Palmer's as we are, we took no notice of the recommended number of people. And yeah, maybe it wasn't really the Palmer influence. Anyway, we wanna not live in the places that are fear and anxious for us, do we? It doesn't feel good. And so we don't want that scum. But if we want more of the Holy Spirit, how many people do? You want more than what you've got now? Guess what then? There will be an ongoing refining process in your heart and mind. And so we need to make room for that. And so that's why we have a distinction really with who is Haven Church and family. It's primarily for the purpose of authority and input. So if you make a decision, I want this to be my church home, then I have a responsibility before the Lord to try to shepherd and try to lead and try to make room for the Holy Spirit to work with you. And, you know, we want to develop teams where pastoral care is happening more and outreach care is happening more and all of that. But, you know, you can't really do that with visitors to the same extent. You can just kind of have an open feeding trough, and that's good. But, you know, when we really get into the heart issues and how do I become more of a revivalist? How do I position myself to be more open, more filled with faith so that more miracles happen? How do I position myself to learn what prophecy is about? You know, if you came to me and said, I have a prophetic gift on my life and I want to use that in this church, I would say to you, absolutely wonderful, but I need to get to know you. Because I now have a responsibility for the other people who would call this home and a responsibility over the overall function of the church to make sure that we're moving in good relationship. So it's one of the things that I want to talk about this morning. If you can look up in your Bible Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. When I was in Milton Keynes this week, I was only there for 2 days. The leader schools that my dad does is, it's quite a broad spectrum of all of the values of Catch the Fire Ministries, but also would deal with some inner healing issues. And inevitably what happens is people then take the journey from Monday through Friday, and they get more healed along the process. It's a lovely thing to participate in. If you've never done one, we're going to get one in Birmingham probably next year. Probably won't happen in 2013, to be honest, because I think his schedule is pretty tight, but you never know. Again, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Anyway, however, there was a woman there who I went out to get sugar for the hospitality room. So I wasn't actually participating in the conference. I was actually there to do a couple things with my dad. And we were having coffee in the hospitality room, but there was no sugar for someone who wanted sugar in their coffee. So I went out to the main area where they were serving to get some sugar for that. That was my only journey there and back while the person is waiting for the sugar in their coffee. And was grabbed by a woman who really wanted some prayer and really wanted me to get my dad to, in this case, phone her daughter to give her a prophetic word because of some things that she was afraid of as a mother. And to be honest with you, I didn't feel anything from the Lord to do anything of the kind, but obviously in kindness and in wisdom, how do we deal with these situations? By the end of the day, she had cornered a few of us. But the deal was this. She was actually so broken, she couldn't hear or connect to anything. And I don't think you have to be in a spirit-filled church very long to know what I'm talking about. Has anyone ever tried to minister to someone and no matter what you say, what your input is, no matter what it, they can't connect? And there is I believe that I need to say this to us as a core church because we need to be prepared and ready for this kind of thing. If we're going to have more of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have more need. I guess the scriptural reference for that would be where grace abounds, sin abounds, right? So where sin abounds, grace abounds the more. We are going to come into times where the hunger for people and the desperation for people becomes more evident. So most of us would say we're not content to play church, yeah? We don't want to play it. We want the real thing or forget it. Let's sleep in on Sunday mornings. That's how I feel. So I don't mind if you feel like that. And so come with that hunger Sunday mornings. Come with that passion Sunday mornings. Bring your fervor. Bring your enthusiasm. Bring your collectiveness together that says we must have more of God. But in that process, what do we do with the very broken? And so this is the scripture that I want us just to look at, which is what the Lord wants to do. And this was my, what I believed was a word of wisdom for her. Let's just start at verse 4, Psalm 68. Sing to God, sing praise to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds, his name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Now the problem, the primary problem from my perspective now, having had some years of experience in pastoring and leading, is that if you and I are not connected to some people who can speak into our lives, I believe what we will have is this sun-scorched desert place. Because for whatever reason, you're still here. How many people accepted Jesus a number of years ago? And yet here we still are. So the goal somehow was not just receiving Christ as Savior. If we had crossed that finish line and that was the only goal, why are we still here? There is still a job to do where somehow collectively we have to work with one another. We have to bump into one another. We have to overcome with one another so that we collectively represent him. But it's the hardest thing to do. It's so much easier to be independent. It's so much easier to just have your relationship, you and God. Because he rarely offends me. It would be more truthful to say he never does, but I might take offense. He rarely offends me. Does he ever offend you? But look around the room. Look at your spouse. Look at your friend. Look at somebody else. And think, have they? Janet and I had some chats this week and talked about a few offenses through the years and things that we were going to rebuild and stuff like that. I don't hope you don't mind me saying that. You see, that's what commitment in family does. If Jackie and I have a dispute and an argument, it cannot be the end of the relationship. It's impossible. It's impossible. It might change. We might not speak to each other for a while. And that kind of stuff goes on in families, sadly. But sadly, it goes on with Christians. And you need to kind of do this inventory thing. Think of the one person you don't want to run into. And I challenge you to say something like this, Holy Spirit, would you bring them my way this week? Because it's time to settle it. How can you live with, oh, if I ever run into them? I want to run into them all. I want to test that and see in my own heart I've moved past the bitterness or the unforgiveness or the anger because it's just too short. I don't have the energy to keep track of all of those offenses. And yet we do. So the deal is, if we want revival, if you want revival, you must be connected to some family. Now, I personally believe in the church unit as family. I personally do not in any way think internet church is a substitute for this. I really don't. And you can disagree with me. But my challenge to you, if you came to me and said, I want to join an internet church, my challenge to you would be, then talk to me about your actual encounters with people. Where are you going to get offended? And then how are you going to be forced to deal with it? Because if I'm not forced to deal with it, I won't deal with it. I won't go looking for growth. It looks for me because I have a kind Savior who wants me to be proud on that day and look like him. But if there's some desert places in your life, some sun-scorched, beaten-up places in your life, I would encourage you to say, God, put me with some people who can see what I don't see in me. Now, the thing is, that has to be built on trust. You can't have relationship without trust, and actually you should not have relationship without trust. But how are you going to do that? How am I going to know that what Janet and I have talked through and decided to kind of turn a page on or start afresh or whatever, how am I going to know if I don't risk that again? How am I going to know? I won't know it by never having anything to do with her. I'll only know it if it gets tested in that place. Or in the kindness of the Lord, he'll bring someone else. Have you ever met someone who, you know, really got under your skin? You don't really fully walk it all the way through, and then you meet another person who reminds you just of the same situation? Guess what that is? The kindness of the Lord. Saying, okay, we'll go around this mountain again because I want you to be victorious in this. I don't want a desert place in your heart where you live not overcoming. He wants us to be overcomers. So how do you overcome rejection? You try again. You get some healing and some ministry about what the roots are. Have a sozo. If you haven't had a sozo, you need one. It's life-breathing for all of us, and we probably all need another go-around to see what else the Holy Spirit has made ripe. But he puts the lonely in families. And so here's something you should probably write down in your notes or your Bible and ask yourself, who's my family? Now I'm talking about spiritually. Who is my spiritual family? Who gets to say you're wrong where you have to listen? It's hard. It's hard to be told you're wrong. And it's fair to ask for some examples if someone is challenging you on something. But if you have relationship, you know at the core of your being, there's no motive just to tear you down. You're completely mad that they're saying that to you, but there's no motive other than somehow continued relationship. And through relationship, you won't storm off and never see them again. Or my prayer will be, as your pastor anyway, bring them to them again. So that we can overcome these things. You know, it should not be that Christians have this reputation of just not being nice to each other. We're one of the most unkind, self-eating group. Kind of the only species, really, that eats their own. Christians, I think. Anybody ever been really, really hurt by other Christians? And the rest of you just don't want to admit it. We hurt each other, but when there is a commitment to family, people who can see your blind spots, just poke the person beside you and say, it's blind because I can't see it. And it's a blessing that we're not all blind in the same things. We have strengths. Joseph and Iris have joined us today. Guess what? They have strengths we as a church don't have. As you get to know them, and they take on some other areas of responsibility and so on in the church, as you get to know and trust them, they will have perspective you don't have. They will have ideas for you that the other people you've been talking to, don't have. That's a new one. That's a fresh one. We need each other. Tell the person on the other side, I need you. I don't want to need you, maybe, but I do. Because the problem with wanting to need somebody is we have set ourselves up for disappointment and for risk, haven't we? Yeah. But the solitary person lives in this desert, the scorched land, and we don't want that. God has made a plan for us to be in families, and I believe for our church this is a key word for us. If we want more, we have to be determined with those relationship commitments that God has led us to. Okay? Does everyone kind of hear my heart on this? I believe you need to have two or three people that you give permission to who can speak into your life. And hopefully they give you loads and loads and loads of encouragement, but hopefully that is reciprocated with a willingness to hear the blind spots that are uncomfortable to hear. I think Bill Johnson's analogy about petting the cat backwards, you know, we're just petting the cat backwards. This cat, one of these days, is going to like it. One of these days, this cat's going to like it. One of these days, everybody else is going to see this is the way you pet a cat. You know, it just would make logical sense to just turn the cat. Or turn you, just pet the other way. Don't you think? Like, sometimes I think we're making life a whole lot harder for ourselves by maintaining this independent streak. And so for what it's worth, I'm declaring this cannot be an independent place. If you want to be heard in this church, you need to be known in this church. If you want to have input into where we want to go, and actually we really want a team mentality. We really want, I don't want to do everything. We really want everybody's gifts and callings and anointings at work and people plugged in where they belong, but we have to be known and trusted by each other. And so if you've had a place where your credibility has been dashed, rebuild it. Rebuild it. You know, if you're visiting from another church and, you know, you kind of fallen out a little bit with your leadership, go back to them and say, how can I reestablish credibility with you? How can I reestablish trust with you? Because I want to be connected. I don't want there to be this place where it's just me and God. I'm not saying we don't need a place that's just me and God. Hear me on that. We do need a personal relationship with Jesus where I have my own language and my own prayer time and my own conversation. But in the blessing that he's provided is room for people to speak into my life and to yours. We have to be teachable. Poke somebody and say, be teachable. Because here's the thing with being teachable. We either trust God to have put us in this garden that we talked about on Friday. He's either put us in a garden of blessing, or we don't trust him. And sooner or later, we just kind of need to lay the axe down and say, okay, I will find the garden that you've put me in, and I will make commitments in relationships to be known so that my voice can be more heard. So over time, Anna knows that when I talk to her about something, she really listens. Now, probably initially, it was out of respect because I was her pastor and leader, and she would have trusted God and said, okay, well, hopefully you will speak through her to me. But over time, that's become a trusted thing. She knows by and large, I want good for her. So when I see something that I think is amiss, it's not because I'm jealous or don't want her to excel or to grow. It's because I see something she doesn't see. And that's the blessing in this corporateness that we have. Okay, so I just wanted to lay that scripture out there so we kind of know where we're headed this year as a church, that it's my goal to build relationships. I will always be relational. I believe in it. You don't get to really say anything of input to me until I get to know you. So can we turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1? Hopefully this all isn't too jointed, but when I was asking the Holy Spirit what he wanted me to say, you know, he doesn't always give me, well, he never really gives me 3-4 point messages. I think he gives most of those to RT Canada. Anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want us just to start at verse 5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. How many people have heritage that's Christian? Your parents, grandparents have Christian heritage they've passed down to you. Hands up real high. You need to really just thank the Lord afresh about that, because there is, it's almost like a stepping stone platform that we have an advantage. I get to stand on what my father and my grandfather, and even my mom, and even her parents, although they were Catholic, there was a devotion to God in there. And that's a blessing. It's almost like if I'm running a race, I'm 20 feet ahead. I got a head start. I got a bit of a better start. And so did all of you if you have some Christian heritage. And that's not a negative for those of us who didn't. But for those of us who did, we need to recognize that that's really God's provision for us. So it's part of the admonition to Timothy. Your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now, lives in you also. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of intimidation, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Paul is telling Timothy, you fan into flame what is in you. So, this is another admonition for us as a church. I think we've had incredible blessing. If we should really write a little booklet or something about some of our history, but for those of you who are new, we had 18 months of the tangible glory of God in the building. There was a haze that was always here, sometimes so much so that it was really visible. Sometimes it would just be in a section of the room. It was through the winter, through the summer, heat on, heat off, sunny days, windows open, anything. 18 months of the presence of God that was tangible. We've had all kinds of... Remember the day the cane broke? It was just like... I don't know if it's back there, is it? Yeah, James... I forget even what happened. Does anyone remember? Who had a word? Was it you that had a word? We need to write these things down so that we can go over them. But it was like this miraculous time where God just kind of clapped on breaking a stick. I think Tony had a word that it was a new day or something. We're going to break the old things or whatever it was. Do you remember it? Do you remember what happened with the stick? Yeah. So Tony has this word, we will limp no more. And actually, it was Sharon Stone then that came and just backed up your word there, Tom. Not bad. Yeah, I think it was Sharon Stone, though, which is cool. Anyway, limping no more as a church. And just some amazing phenomenon. I think it might have been Pentecost Sunday, and the doors here blew in. And they don't actually work that way on their hinge. They actually blew in, not out. Just all of a sudden. So we've had some amazing things as a church. But we need, in the context of the great food that we get here by the presence of God, we need to understand now that we're not babies in this. And it's not a coincidence that, you know, people like Joseph and Iris would join us for such a time. This is such a time. It's such a time. It's such a time. That we need to take some responsibility for what God has put in me, and I need to fan that. So what I was talking about before, coming enthused, coming ready to give, coming a little bit filled. That doesn't mean the odd occasional time we're not sad, we don't need encouragement, we don't need each other as brothers and sisters. But for us, where this is home most of the time, or for those of you who are visiting and calling this home for now, it needs to be a place where you come with something to give, right? This needs to be a watering hole for the lost, but a launching pad for those of us who are saved. This just needs to be a place where we're a little more revved up than when we came in, a little more filled, a little more encouraged, a little more inspired, and more to take out next week. Because I actually believe in more and more and more and more. I can remember having this discussion with someone who said to me, we have to have the sad so that we appreciate the happy. And here's my question. Why? I don't get that. I actually don't think like that. Sorry for all who I disagree with, but I don't get that. That's not how I'm wired. So to say, well, we have to experience less power so that we appreciate more, why? Why do we have to go through dry seasons so we appreciate well-watered seasons? Why? That makes no sense to me. To me, that's not kingdom. We're not going to go through dry spells in heaven where it's like, oh, I guess he's just distanced himself from me this week and he's not really around and we'll go through dark ages or desert seasons. That's not truth in heaven. And we have heaven here on earth. So we can actually go from glory to glory. To glory. To glory. To glory. We can actually come in encouraged and go out even more encouraged. And next week, come in a little more encouraged and go out a little more encouraged or a lot more encouraged. We can actually go up, 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 up. Somehow Paul, in the middle of the inner dungeon, was not affected by what was going on. He maintained somehow this ability to praise God in everything. And that's what we're called to. How many people have been a Christian more than a couple of years? Hands up. So just poke somebody and say, you're mature. You're like a good wine, a good piece of cheese. You've aged. You've matured. You've had a few bumps that you've overcome. You've been tried and tested and come through the other side with a smile on your face. Well done. If you could worship Jesus this morning, well done. Because some of us have been through some horrendous things in the recent years. Things that could have derailed us had we walked away from the Lord. So well done. But in that mature place now, we want to go for revival. We really do. I would not be honest if I didn't say that I really hope every single one of us in this church will reach our full potential and preach better than anybody and heal more people than anybody. One of the things we want to do this year is have a healing meeting at least once a month. And guess what my requirement is? How many people would like to have a healing meeting once a month where we focused on physical healing? How many people would like a meeting where you could bring a sick person and be pretty sure they were going to get healed? How many people would like that? How many people would like to participate in that? Be part of that meeting. Yeah? Hands up. Great. Here's your assignment. Testimonies. Okay? So if you want to be part of the healing team at Haven Church, go heal some people. So that you have some fresh testimonies. Because there's nothing that fires me up about healing more than my testimonies when I prayed for someone and they got healed. I'm enthused about yours. I'm really excited about mine. And that's the truth. And we're made that way. We're wired that way. So, you know, often people will look at the leaders and, yeah, it's my, you know, I get to make those decisions. But we'll look at the leaders and say, why aren't we having more healing? I've actually had people do that through the years. Why aren't we having more healings? Why aren't you praying for more sick people? Why aren't you healing them? It's actually not my job description any more than it's your job description. My job description is equip the saints. That's what my job description really is. And in this particular context, to make a space for him, that's actually my underlying spiritual mandate. And we will follow whatever he's doing to the best of my ability, with or without everyone's popular opinion. And that's just what we're going to do. But if you want to see people healed, if you're tired of people not being healed, go pray for the sick. Read everything you can about healing. Do you know, here's one misnomer that we need to make sure we get rid of. If you went up to pray for someone to receive Christ, would you go up and say, I don't know if this is their day, but I'm going to lead them to Jesus, and if it doesn't work, I'll just know that it was another day on God's agenda. See, we don't think like that. We don't ever say, is it God's will that they become a Christian? We never say that. We don't believe that. But sometimes, and some of us, believe it may not be God's will to heal. If you really think that, then I challenge you to show me scripture. Because I don't believe there is a single example where they brought them to Jesus, and he said, I'm sorry, it's not on the Father's list today. There's a whole lot more refining that has to go on before they're ready to receive it. Not on the list. It's not scriptural. And if we have that place in us, we need to understand that that's a little bit of ground we've given to the enemy. It's a little bit of place in my own heart where doubt can live. Perfect love casts out fear. I need to get connected to God's heart about healing. I'm kind of embarrassed to share this next little thing, and I don't really know how to unpack this and what to do about it. But my neighbor, their son came to our door last night. I haven't even told you guys this. Came to the door last night because I had received a parcel on their behalf. And the delivery company put a card through their door, so he came to pick up the parcel. So I think he's maybe about 21 or 2. And he's at the door. And I said, "Wow, you've cut your hair." He's completely bald. And I'm thinking that this was for some fundraising thing that he was doing, right? And I said, "Wow, is there, you know, what are you doing it for, or whatever?" And he says, "Chemotherapy." And I was like, ugh! You know, one of those moments where, oh my goodness, what do I do? What do I say? And I said, "Really? What kind of cancer do you have?" Now, I'm just going to be really honest, okay, because this was the awkward moment at my door. And I really like this guy. He's got a big, smiley, beaming face. He's a lovely young man. He says, "It's testicular cancer." And I'm like, "Wow. Well, we'll certainly be praying for you." Here's my embarrassment. I didn't even know. And that's an embarrassing thing for me, to be honest with you. I should know. They have living beside them someone who believes in miraculous healing for cancer. Because it's wrong that a 21 or 24, whatever he is, I don't know if he's older than you or younger than you, should have cancer like that. And I don't know all the ramifications. I would assume it will affect his ability to have children. My neighbor, what's going to motivate you to say, "I must have healing in my life. I must have an anointing to heal the sick"? You know, how desperate, how close at hand does it have to get before we begin to dig in and say, "I've got to really believe this stuff"? And in that process, we have to fan to flame ourselves. It's not your wife's responsibility. It's not your pastor's responsibility. It's not your children's responsibility. It's not your best friend's responsibility to encourage you every week. It's yours. We want to be like David, don't we? You know, if we, most of us had a choice, we'd love David's anointing. David learned through all of that how to encourage himself in the Lord. So on this one hand, we want to embrace trusting community. I want a family who will stand with me and unconditionally, this is what I want as a leader. I want a team of people all moving forward, that even if I perhaps go the wrong way, the team is still with me. Even if you perhaps get your prophetic word wrong, you have a company of people ultimately believing in you because they know you. But don't expect that kind of loyalty if you will not be known. It doesn't happen like that. Relationships are these treasured, honored things. But it does require time and it does require effort. So if we want to really go for it, I want to know when we have some healing nights, we have a team behind us absolutely going for it as much or more than I. I really do. Because let's face it, there is still day-to-day living. There will be days when, oh, tonight's the healing night. I have had such a terrible week, Lord. By your grace tonight, let's go for it again. And one of you will just be full of life and the Holy Spirit and full of encouragement, having stirred yourself all week or whatever, slightly better place than me. Let's go for it again. Right behind you, right beside you, right with you, let's go for it. But we must have these things in tandem. I must be able and have learned and be prepared to fan into flame what God has put in me, even if no one else will do it. And somehow at the same time be committed to relationship so that when I actually need some of that support, I have some trusted relationships that can do that. But I can't depend on that exclusively. I need to be able to fan into flame what God is doing. How many people know God has really breathed on your life? Now don't put up your hands for this, but I just think it's a bit of an internal question the Holy Spirit would say. Do you know how to fan that yourself? Do you know how to breathe on that? Do you know what to do with that? Here's a couple tips. Write down those things God has said and done and given you. Keep it somewhere, front of your Bible, on your fridge, in your car mirror, flap or whatever, somewhere where you can be reminded of the things that God has done. Because I can tell you, you will be bombarded every day, just like me, on all the fat, ugly, stupid things you do. True? I can't be the only one. Yeah. There's an agenda to derail you from your place of influence. I want to be an influencer in this city. I don't care if it's from a cathedral step or city hall or a big, you know, conference center. I really don't care about that. But I do want to be the influencer God has called me to be. Don't you? And if you do, I think this morning he's saying those two things to us. We need to be committed to the trusted relationships the Holy Spirit will lead us to. So hear me on this. It needs to be safe, and it probably needs to be two or three people that you allow to speak into your life. I don't ever believe that you should just go from person to person to person asking for prophetic words. As far as I'm concerned, there's very little value in that because there's no connection, because there's no accountability, because there's no knowing. It has very little value. It's just like Smarties. You might as well just feed them Smarties. You know, if it's not the right opportunity and I sense that someone is just going for another word and another word and another word, I'd rather just get out candy and feed them, because really that's what you want. But I want something real and lasting and deep. I want a committed group of people in our church who really want to go for this, come hell or high water, no matter what's coming against us. And at the same token, we build up these muscles of discipline where we can stand and fan ourselves. So we're just going to do a couple of random things this morning. How many people have had the Lord touch them with intercession on their life? They know that there's some leaning towards it, some gifting towards it, some calling for it, some anointing in the past that you know was for you. Stand to your feet. Wow. Look how many intercessors we have. Somebody around them, put hands on them, and I want you to bless and fan in them. Those of you who are standing, I want you to say, Holy Spirit, teach me how I can fan this to life every day of my life. I'm alive Sunday because it's supposed to be fanned to life today. I'm alive Monday because it's supposed to be in operation at work. I'm alive Tuesday because there's somebody that you want me to pray for. This gift of intercession is not just so that you have somewhere to fit. It's not just so that you have a pair of shoes as well. It's not just so that you have a title. It's so that you can hear a little more specifically than others what to pray for, how to break through, how do I hear just a little, maybe your ears are better. You know, one of us is the eyes, one is the ears, one's the feet, one's the armpit. It takes all of us though. So if as intercessors, God is sharpening your ears, then we want to pray as the body of Christ that they would be so sharpened, you can fine-tunely hear what God is saying to you for breakthrough, for individuals, for companies, for cities. And if no one is standing with you, then put your hand on your own heart and say, Father, I stir this. I stir this. Just pray for each other here. I stir this. I stir this. Shauna, put your hand on Sue and say, I stir this intercession on your life. It's not a pair of shoes. It's not a pigeonhole slot for your memos to go in. It's not a title for you to have just so you don't feel left out. It's a gift from God and a potential for you to have very good hearing for what the Spirit is saying. Longer term away. Build the relationship with me as your pastor so that you can get trusted, so that when you come to me and say, this has been on my heart all week, I take notice of it. I won't take notice of it if I don't know you. No disrespect intended, but that's the truth. If it's not built on relationship and track record for me, with room for mistakes and all of that, but with good attitude, I won't listen to it. I can't. I can't lead and listen to 100 people all saying something different. I'm looking for a team that we can build something together. I want a revolution in the city. I didn't come here just so we could have two flags on the wall. It's not about that. We fan into flame, intercession. Let there be birthing of intercessors out of this place, across our city. Let networks be built. I don't care about all the old meetings and all the old customs and all the old relationships. Father, you have put something on each of these people for intercession for such a time. Such a time. Such fun. Such a time, Lord. Such a time. Such a time, Lord. We bless you as the body of Christ, even to hear wrong occasionally. We're not going to break relationship with you if you hear it wrong. We're going to just walk this and step into commitment. We ask for an increase in sharp ears to hear further away. Whoa. Lord, we want the intercessors to hear the trumpets. We want the intercessors to hear the leaves rustling. We want the intercessors to hear even some of the troubled stuff, but all in the package of faith, all in the package of this is what God's doing. Let's get ready, let's get ready, let's get ready. Do you know, it was the intercessors in Toronto in the fall that said, we need to get ready for something. Something's about to break, in the fall of January 1993. Aren't you happy? Somebody said, hang on, get ready. How many people think there's a prophetic gift on their life? They know they've been specifically used in that. Hands up. Some of it may be the same people, but it may be different people. Put your hands on them. Mark DuPont, in November of 1993, gave a prophetic word over Toronto that something was going to break like Niagara Falls in that church. That's exactly what happened. And it was just nice for the leaders to have a bit of a heads up with a reputable prophet, someone with relationship with them, where my dad could say, really, Mark? You're not just, you know, like this isn't, Mark doesn't give fluffy prophetic words anyway. But let's position ourselves for such a time as this one. Get connected. Find your family. Get your place of influence nailed down so that that prophetic gift can hear and see and declare with credibility, with trust. Let's not be the flaky group of the fivefold ministry. And if you've had that accusation over you, forgive them. But then do this. Say, Lord, if there's any truth to that flaky bit, because I can tell you it's probably the most contentious area within church is how do prophets function with the leaders. Prophets need to walk the most humbly. Intercessors need to walk the most humbly, because if they're going to have the ear of the one who's steering the ship, they need to walk in a humble relationship, submitting it to them and trusting God with what they see and hear. But let's let the prophets arise. Father, we want a prophetic move. We want to start these prophetic teams. But we need them built in trusted relationships, walking hand in hand with mature prophets who can stir up that fan within themselves, who can stir that flame and say, I'm prophetic because God did something. God put something in me that makes it different now. And I can step back into that same anointing. How many people have a real anointing for worship? You're called for it. There's an anointing on your life for worship. Somebody lay hands on them. Father, we ask you for more. There's an anointing on Iris for worship, and I'd like someone to lay hands on her. Because there is. It might be in the form of dance for her, but it's worship nonetheless. And so if you have an anointing for worship, learn. I need to be responsible in my team. I need to get people around me who can speak into my life about worship so that what I'm living is a lifestyle of worship. I don't just worship on Sunday mornings or Friday nights. I don't just worship when I happen to have 5 minutes. It's a lifestyle of giving thanks. I want to step into maturity where I can worship if nobody else is worshiping. I can sing at the top of my lungs if nobody else is singing with me. Cultivate that in yourself. Bring in the presence of God. Worship went before the very ark of his presence. The containment of his presence was preempted by worshipers who, with abandonment, David strips off most of his clothes and humbles himself in front of everyone at the cost of worship. At the cost of worship. We were blessed watching Jackie at RA in front of 2,500 people. She was so nervous. And even at that, you know, 1 minute before we were going to do this one song, I said, Jackie, you need to lead this one. I have no voice. Go for it. And she did. It's on the CD. Unedited on the CD, by the way. We need worshipers to worship like absolutely no one is watching except the Lord himself. Who cares if anyone else sings? I don't know if you're standing for this, but it is all over you. It's different, maybe, and it may have nothing to do with a team or an instrument. But you have a heart of worship, and you do need to go for it. You do need to go for it. Don't ever be quieted. Don't ever be silenced. I'm not saying you always have to be loud. I'm just saying don't ever be silenced. Don't ever put a sock in it. How many people have an anointing to teach? They love to pull out the nuggets of Scripture. They love to find the little piddly bits that nobody else is really interested in. If that's you, go for it. Who's going to get the nuggets out there? I don't actually like digging for nuggets like that. It's not natural for me to do. I want it by divine revelation, thanks. But if you have that on your life, anyone else? Teaching. Lay hands on him. Anyone else? Joseph, lay hands on him. We bless the teachers. We bless the teachers to find these nuggets. How awesome would that be if we have nuggets of revelation, nuggets of revelation, nuggets of revelation. It's not just a title. It's not just your slot. It's not just your pigeonhole to get your memos. It's significant for the Lord for some reason, for the building of the revival teams that he's building. How many people are pastors? They know that they tend to always think of other people. They're always caring about them. They love the phone. They love to meet up with people. They love to care for the sheep. Put your hands on them. Say, Father, bless the pastors. Because sheep are attracted to shepherds. And let's face it, we need some sheep. Most churches in England are not full to capacity. Are they? Where are all the sheep? We've got all these nice little straw padded things here. Nice little straw hutches here for them. But they're empty. Bless the pastors, Father. Let there just be an increase of anointing on the pastors to lovingly care for the body of Christ. Lovingly care for the body of Christ. If you're a pastor and you're waiting for something or someone to pastor, then get in relationship with the leaders that you're called to and begin to prove yourself credible. Begin to love your leaders, love your pastors, build trust so that you can be released more and more and more under that authority into what God has. We're all on the same team. We're not actually competing, but there is a little bit of order and structure. You can look it up in the New Testament. He outlined it. So let's have some leadership. Let's have some dispersing of the gifts. Let's have some sharing of duties and responsibilities, and let's build. But we must be committed to relationships, and we must be committed to fanning into flame what God has put in me. Because there will be times when there is no one to encourage you but you. For whatever reason. No one to encourage you but you. If you want to have more authority, then be faithful with what he's given you. So for those of you who stood for intercession, my challenge for you is every single day, what would you like me to intercede for today? What is on your heart to intercede for through me today? Is there someone who's in need? You don't ever have to tell them. You know, let's be these covert intercessors who don't walk around with ashes all over our body because we're in such travail, but actually somehow joyfully living life because we have the love of Christ on the inside, and secretly, covertly winning these massive weapons of war, you know, winning these situations behind the scenes so that we can secretly build up this file that says, I prayed for that, I prayed for that, I prayed for that. You know, intercessors have a unique ability somehow to tuck away what they helped achieve with nobody knowing. So watch for that, because it probably is a tendency for error. Whatever we're gifted in, is probably the place that we'll get challenged. So start to keep a personal log that can encourage yourself. I prayed for that person. This week they got saved. Keep your own personal journal. Doesn't mean you shout it from the rooftops. And it doesn't mean you go tell that person, you know why you got saved? I prayed for you all week. Let it be this, you know, stealth bomber thing. I really want to be a stealth. If I was an airplane, I would be a stealth bomber. Because I just want to go in and out, and I want this undetected mystery type airplane experience. Well, let's go for it. Did I leave anybody out? Huh? No? Okay, let's stand. Father, thank you that you are assembling here in this house. And for the purposes of all of you who are visiting, and you know, I don't want you in any way to feel excluded, for such a time as this one, you're here for this message. So take it in whatever form God has for you. It's not a coincidence, Val, that you're here today to hear that message, by the way. So take hold of it and chew on it like a good piece of steak. Father, for such a time as this one, for such a year as this one, you are putting together families in places where we were isolated to come together and be encouraged and full of life. Encouraged and full of you. So Lord, would you just equip us as a church to keep moving forward into your plans. May it never be about just building programs and people programs. We want God programs. We want to follow what you're doing and then walk diligently with what those plans are and faithful in loving the lost. So, Father, we just give you our lives afresh today, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, that as we stood for each of these things, that you would inundate us this week with people to pray for, people to prophesy to, the sick to heal. Oh, yeah, I didn't pray for those who have like a healing anointing. But if you have a healing anointing, just put your hand up. Lord, I want a whole bunch of sick people this week to pray for. And I promise to open my eyes, Holy Spirit. I promise to not close my eyes and go, I don't want to pray this week. I promise to keep my eyes open and look for the sticks and the wheelchairs and the bent backs and the headaches and the everything. And start cursing pain. I hate pain. Anybody in pain today? Here's one. Gather around. Those who put up their hand for healing. Come on. Get rid of that pain. Get mad at that pain. If you had, I don't know, an enemy walk in the room this morning with a big machine gun or something, we'd all be like, you don't belong here. Let's do that with pain. Let's begin to take this at his word. Father, we speak life to her body right now. Thank you for the anointing of Christ. Thank you that the blood is absolutely enough. Thank you that you took the whippings and the beatings so that her body could receive life more abundantly. So we command every bit of pain to leave her body now in Jesus' name. We wipe on her the anointing of God that destroys every yoke of bondage. No pain, no pain. So, Father, would you be lifted high in our city this week through our lives and through the life of this church? Bless our city. Bless every fellowship and home group and church in which your name is lifted high. Because you alone, Lord Jesus, deserve our honor and our thanks. It's for you alone that we have made this decision to make you our Lord. It's for your glory, Jesus. It's for your glory. It's for your glory. And we love you, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for your encouragement this morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you that we are more than conquerors through Christ. Be blessed and have a wonderful week in Jesus' name. Can we put something on from the Revival Alliance CD?